you can feel that electricity just flying right now. And as I was going to start off again, Deba Shalom to all of you. You know, I just declared the word over each and every one of you. Now, this is where the Holy Ghost took off yesterday, because this was not in this message. So, the Holy Spirit impressed upon me the importance of you getting what was just spoken. Deba Shalom. Okay? So, Psalm 85, Psalm 85, verse 8. Okay? It says, I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak. For he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. Now, it says, I will hear. That is Shama, S-H-A-M-A. And it means to listen very intently, very discerningly. That's how you listen. For he will speak peace. That phrase, speak peace, in the Hebrew, is Deba Shalom. Deba, D-A-B-A-R, is Strong's 1696. It means to speak, to declare, to proclaim, to issue a command, to promise. Now, with this is the concept of God releasing a declaration or command that changes things. Did we hear that this morning? Yeah. Well, let me repeat that. With this is the concept of God releasing a declaration or command that changes things. Amen. But what is God declaring here? Peace. Yeah. Peace. Now, the word peace in the Hebrew is shalom. S-H-A-L-O-M. It is Strong's 7965. I'm going slow on purpose, because I really want this to sink in. Most of us have heard the word shalom and know it to be a Jewish greeting or a blessing bestowed upon someone. And so everybody takes it as shalom, you know, peace. I even taught when they said shalom, shalom, it means peace to your inner man and peace to your outer man. But see, there's, when this came as a revelation, it was like, wow. So it's not just merely peace. The word shalom has a much deeper meaning. And that is what the Holy Spirit wants you to hear and to understand. So you could hear it, but you got to understand it. Now, here's the meaning. It means completeness. It means wholeness. It means soundness. It means health, welfare, tranquility, contentment. It means wealth. Prosperity, favor, the ability to finish, to be safe. Someone once said it carries the connotation of nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing damaged. Now the NIV reads that scripture as, I will listen, Shama, listen, to what God, the Lord says. He promises peace. He promises peace to His people, His faithful servants. We are those people that this scripture is talking about. We are His faithful servants. So He promises peace. Shalom is more than just peace to you and good morning. Again, Deba Shalom over all of you this morning. Was the Holy Spirit correct in having me bring this back to your remembrance? See, that's one of the many assignments that He has. And that is to bring things back to our remembrance. See, Jesus made a promise of the Holy Spirit once He ascended to heaven, which He kept, right? Promise fulfilled. Holy Spirit, our helper. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Well, look at verse 26 of the Amplified Classic edition. And believe it or not, this I got a confirmation on when I picked up and read something last night from Kenneth Copeland. And I thought, okay, somebody reads that. I read it after I wrote this. So I got a confirmation from the man. Yeah. You know? So I guess I was on track with what the Holy Spirit wanted. But He took it from a little bit of a different avenue there. But it was all about the same thing. See, what He was talking about was prayer. Okay? Faith powers prayer. Because if you aren't going to believe for it, what are you praying for? Right. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get back. But see, that's what we all got to concern. Make sure we concern us all. Where we're not wavering in our prayer. And we are consistent and persistent. Now, John chapter 14, verse 26 says, "But the Comforter," now this is Jesus speaking, "Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, stand by. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, in My place, to represent Me and act on My behalf. He will teach you all things." That's what the Holy Spirit's going to do. Can I teach us all things? "And He will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything I have told you." He is our teacher, revealer, and our comforter. Our comforter who strengthens us through these hard times, these difficulties that we face. The comforter gives you strength to stand and to stand on the word when that day, when your head keeps telling you, "I'm not going to see. They screwed up on this surgery. My eye's not going to get better." That's where we draw our strength from. Through the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who brings us that strength. Whatever hardships are the result of, whether they be someone else's or of our own unwise decisions, or pure circumstance, God wants to be our protection and our strength. We have the Holy Spirit in us. That means we have access to His unlimited amount of comfort to receive and to give out. Hey, we not only receive it, but we have to give out that comfort. We have to strengthen one another together to get us through. He plays here. The Satan plays right here in his head. And if you entertain him, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. That's why you need another believer that you can open up to and trust. And that believer is to bring comfort, to bring strength to you. And he'll do it because the Holy Spirit in him to bring that comfort out. Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. Okay. Okay. I want to go there. Okay. Yep. To make sure. Okay. And being assembled together with them, he, Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. This is because he was getting ready to go to his father, right? So he's telling them, don't depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you will have from me. For John surely baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times and seasons, which the Father has put into his own authority. See, those are things we're not supposed to be focused on. We're supposed to be focused on letting our light shine and sharing the gospel and getting people saved, getting souls into the kingdom. Verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The word power in verse 8 is the Greek word dunamis. D-U-N-A-M-I-S. Dunamis. Psalms 14:11. Dunamis is defined as the following. Force. Okay, remember, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. That power is dunamis. So it's a force. It's might. It is strength. It is ability. Miraculous power. Abundance. The ability to perform miracles. You will be powered up enough to do that. You got to have the faith enough to know that you do, and you exercise that faith when you lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Amen. It's an inherent power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. It is power to achieve, the power and might of an army. Power resting upon armies, forces, and hosts. Wow. Holy Spirit in you. What is in you? Did you hear what is in you? You know, the mind saying, really? Don't take it up here. Take it in here and build upon it. Acts chapter 2, now, and I want you to look to verse 1 through 4, 1 through 4. Yep. When the day of Pentecost had come, now, remember, Luke wrote this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. in one accord now, because they wanted to be there. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, because they were listening intently. They weren't standing up worshiping. They were sitting. They were listening. We miss these things when we read these scriptures. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The day of Pentecost is 50 days from, as Easter, but it's from Resurrection Sunday. You understand? Jesus appeared to the apostles during that time for what? 40 days. 40 days. And that was before he went to heaven. For 10 days, they needed to stand together, encouraging one another, and be in constant prayer while waiting for the promise. Now, this group, remember, was very susceptible to doubting. Okay? And the Holy Ghost brought this out and put this in because you need to know this. Because, see, they were human. We are human beings. Okay? So, Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 49. You remember, this is after, you know, Jesus has risen, and he goes to talk to them. He says, "Now, as they said these things, they were talking, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace to you.'" Peace to you. Now, that's a whole nother, you know, they're very similar, and it is Irene, that's how you say it. It's Irene, just like the I when you pronounce it, but it's Irene, but it's an E. And it's the same as in the Old Testament of Shalom. And it's a whole other study. But just trust me in that. It's very comfortable. Okay, verse 37, "But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts?'" They're seeing him. They're seeing him physically. Now remember, he's flesh and blood, right? He even says that. You'll say that here. "And he walked through the walls." God is awesome. Verse 39, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food to eat? Is it here? Bring it on." So they gave him a piece of a broiled fish. Not ribs, sorry. He got broiled fish. Okay. And some honeycomb. He didn't get a lady lock either. All right. And he took it and he ate it in their presence. He ate food in their presence. And you know, they're still not believing what they're seeing. See, he knew that. Everything he did to prove to them. That's why he finally is getting their attention. Verse 44, then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. These are things that they were discussing. These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding and that they might comprehend the scriptures. Bingo! Light went on for them. When the light goes on, does not the scriptures come alive to you? You know what? You just put the word in darkness. There you go. Open up. Get that light going. Hallelujah. Verse 46. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send my promise of my Father upon you. But tarry. No, that means wait. There we go again. You gotta wait. You wait. Wait upon the Lord, and he shall renew your strength. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power. Dunamis from on high. Dunamis power. They were first of all being obedient to what Jesus had told them. They were to wait, to stay in Jerusalem. Now you got to imagine, they were there waiting, and them last 10 days, they were all by themselves. So they better be encouraging one another. Because someone's thought life could go off one way and it'll bring them back around. The same as we do here in our body. You know, we do it in a nice way. Wait a minute. This is what he said. Do we not believe? We walked with him. Right. They walked with him. Right. But so do we. We do it by faith. Right. But they were gathered in what? One accord. That's in unity. And they were fully expecting to receive the promise of Holy Spirit. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now we have all heard the blowing of a strong wind. Now that was the sound. And wind always accompanies the Spirit's entry. That's a whole other thing, I know. But trust me on that. We'll get to that later on in things. Okay. But they heard that. Now, they weren't blown back, but they were. They're all going, that sound, the company. That Spirit of God, the dunamis power, made in that place where they were, because they were in one accord and they were expecting. They were expecting to receive. The sound also attracted everyone around to come see what took place. You ever notice that? There's a big boom. I don't know if you're like me. I want to go see where that was. I want to go see where that sound come from. So it's going to draw all these people in. Now, verse 3 says, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. A tongue of fire for each one. That tongue of fire, if you've been baptized in the Spirit or asked for that Spirit, then that tongue of fire fell on you also. It's for each and every one who cries out for the Spirit to get the Holy Spirit. Fire is often associated in the Old and New Testaments with the presence of God and with His holiness. God's presence and holiness are implied in the Pentecostal tongues of fire. God was placing His Spirit, His dunamis power, into those who were gathered together there. And it would be their responsibility to harvest souls and baptize others with the Holy Spirit. And those saved ones would continue to do the same thing. We are to continue doing the same thing. Once you get saved, it isn't over. You have the ability to preach and teach. You don't even realize it. You know, I remember Nicky when he first started coming to the church here. Man, you just couldn't stop Nicky. Yeah. But literally, I was in Walmart. And I was over here, and I hear a couple aisles away, I hear a voice like, that's Nicky. Nicky's over there preaching to these people in the aisle. I come around and walked around that corner, and he got their full attention. And he's telling them about Jesus. He said, right now, he said, if you want to meet Jesus, I can show you how. And they were like, yeah, okay. This guy comes out of nowhere. They didn't know what to do. But that was Nicky. But he was fulfilling that calling. And he does that to this day. I don't know if you've ever been with Nicky. Praise God. He's enjoying himself down in Florida. And he's healed. He's healed. I mean, that man is a whole testimony in itself to what God can do. It was nothing that Nicky just had to put the faith and trust in God. God did the rest. And he gives all the glory to God for it. Yeah, and that's what we need to hear. We need to hear those kind of testimonies. We need to hear what when you have a testimony. Yep. That testimony from Vicky. You know, you might have sitting there and said, yeah, you know, I've done that too, or I've had this. You know, they actually started talking to her, telling her, well, your cornea is this and that and that. I said, believe me, we've already prayed. I said, Anthony's never going to have another cornea replacement. Never. This one took place. It's final. He said that with that one because he said, we ain't going through it. We ain't doing this no more. He said, God's going to restore my eye, and it's going to restore my eyesight. And he's standing on that. I stand on the same thing for this eye. Amen. That God's going to restore that sight. And I appreciate those who have been standing and praying, saying that same thing over me. Because it's there. It is there. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Now, there, this little note, because I had to add this, right? Fire is identified with Christ Himself. See, because in Revelations chapter 19, verse 11 through 13. Okay. John writes, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, which means he's the head of all nations. Get an interpretation for you there. He had a name written that no one knew except him. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. His name is called the Word of God. This is not the same name that no one knew except Christ in verse 12. But see, this name was revealed to us. That's why we know that's not the name. And only He knows that name when He cracks that sky on that white horse. Whoo! What a day that's going to be. Eyes of fire. Wow. Because we know John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we know in verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and blood and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Hallelujah. Now in Acts chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Acts chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Again, then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, in Acts chapter 1, verse 15, it says there were about 120. Now that's, they call it the upper room, but they were actually at the temple. Okay? See, the upper room where they actually stayed, it was too small. It was too small for that many people to be there. So it was the temple that they were talking about. But when they did conversions, there was about 120 of them. And that included the 11 apostles, and it included Mary, Jesus' mother. She gets recognition there. Yeah. I think it also said there that his brothers were there. She probably said, come on, boys, we're going. This is what your brother worked so hard for. But this outpouring was the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy in chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. But we see that in Acts chapter 2, verses 16 through 21. Acts chapter 2, verses 16 through 21. And Peter here, he delivers his first sermon after being filled with the Holy Spirit, with dunamis power. And everybody's out there that came because of that, that sound, that they wanted to know what that was. Because they heard it, but yet the dust didn't get disturbed. Yeah. Amazing. Peter speaking. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my maidservants and my men servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. he preached his first message. And he got what? He got over 3,000 souls saved on his first message. See, God doesn't work in addition. He works in multiplication. And just think how the multiplication factor rolls. Do you ever know the principle of 72? You ought to study that out and you'll see how one penny could end up if you do what it says in the rule. But that's how God operates. But the first one, imagine, 3,000 souls. 3,000 souls. So is there an impossibility that we've been praying for a million souls to be saved right now during this revival? Oh, no. Nope. No way. See, God is the God of the impossible. And what makes him as impossible is when we believe what he says he can do. Because he can do what he says he can do. And he has shown us many times that he's doing what he said he's going to do. You look at what's going on around us. And look at what he's doing. It sounds like we are losing out there. We are not losing. We're awake and we know what's going on. Remember, we started with what? A pandemic. Well, it wasn't a pandemic, it was a plandemic. But now they decided, we got to revise that. Now it's a fear-demic. A fear-demic. They're trying to bring fear upon the people. All you hear about is masks, masks, masks. You know, and they're saying the COVID cases are up. I wonder, where's the influenza cases? Where are they? Yeah, when you go through these times of years, they have always said, oh, this is the flu season. Well, what is it? Oh, now it's the COVID season. Okay? Oh, you know what? We better come up with another booster. These people need another booster. You know where you get your booster from? From the Word of God. He tells you, he delivered you from, it says, you're delivered from the law, right? Okay, and in the law, there's a word called consumption. You read it. You know, and so you've been delivered from that word consumption. And that means all diseases of the lungs. What do those two things we know attack? The respiratory system, the lungs. Soon as it starts, you attack it with a word. This new variant, like I said, now, when we read the symptoms a while back, it's the common cold. Do you take your vitamins and your supplements? Well, you should, because I know none of you eat properly. Me included. Come on. So you look up, see what you need, and make sure you made that. God gave us an immune system, but we got to take care of the immune system. We can't abuse it. We know what it does physically. I know what it did to me for years. Thank God I wear a 38 waist now. I used to wear a 46. Can you imagine it? I couldn't believe that. 46. Whew, Jesus. Okay, where were we, Dean? Hallelujah. Okay. All right. Okay, well, we finished those. And okay, we talked about the three. Okay, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit at this time, right then at that point now, that was the beginning of the church. Do you understand that? Jesus' church, his ecclesia, took off on the day of Pentecost. That was when the church came into full bloom. Boom, that was when it took off. Matthew 16, verses 15 through 18. Jesus' disciples were asked a question by him. Asked a question. A simple question. Okay, you there? He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter, always the first one to jump up, he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. On this rock, he is talking about that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the rock. Peter was the small rock, Petros. Okay? We're talking the rock. We're talking Christ. He says, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Christ's ecclesia, filled with, the Spirit of God containing his dunamis power. The gates of hell will never prevail against it. We are part of the ecclesia. It will not prevail against any of us. When I say, we are the ecclesia.
We are the
ecclesia. We are the ecclesia. We are the ecclesia. We are the ecclesia. We are, each one of us, filled with the Holy Spirit and dunamis power of God. Because we are ecclesia. Dunamis represents the kind of power that is an inherent force. It flows from a person to give them the ability to do supernatural things like making miracles and morally excellent acts. And what's our decree in this church? Ready? We are a supernatural church. Come on. Because of supernatural people doing supernatural things. We are a supernatural church composed of supernatural people doing supernatural things. We are a supernatural church composed of supernatural people doing supernatural things. Amen?
Yes.
Yeah, hallelujah. We are a full gospel church. We're Pentecostal, tongues on fire filled church. Do you know how many people have a problem with that? You say the word Pentecostal, they go, they're Pentecostal. They believe in speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And if you want them to, I can show you how to get them.
Yeah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. The elder can do it, and so can the deacons.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Throughout scriptures, we see the outpouring of the dunamis of the Holy Spirit generating miracles, revelation, faith, healing of hearts, minds, and bodies. We see dreams, visions, and prophecy. We see breakthroughs. Hear me? I'm going to say it again. We see breakthroughs.
Amen.
We have strength and we have vitality. Hear that, Vic? Vitality.
Yeah.
All of this should be present in the life of every believer who is filled with the Holy Spirit and is actively engaged in spiritual activities. You know what one of the spiritual activities is? Praying. Praying. Talking to God. Talking to God. He wants to have a conversation with you. He misses his time with you when you're not, you're too busy in the morning. You don't understand. I got to get ready. I got to get this. I got to go do that. You got time to make yourself a cup of coffee. You got time to make yourself toast. You got time to make an egg. But yet you don't have time for God. Exactly. Do you know how much better the egg will taste once you got prayed up, have your time with him? Ooh, man. Makes a whole nother flavor come out. The dunamis power of the Holy Spirit works like a spiritual generator. See, it's releasing signs, wonders, miracles, and it's sending out a harvesting of souls. That's what it's doing through that dunamis power. Revival in America is not optional. Intercession that has birthed this revival wasn't and still isn't an option. Some who have prayed in the past, they have given up. They have gone back to that passivity and complacency that they were once in. Jesus said in Luke, go ahead, brother.
I will not
give up.
I will not go back.
That's right.
One more time.
I will not give up.
Right.
I will not go back.
Yes, sir. Never the same.
Never the same.
Never the same. See, this is not a time to grow weary. See, we're doing so good, but you're not going to hear that. You're not going to hear that out there. Shirley just said that to me the other day. We were talking, and she was asking some questions. How do we get, other people don't know that we're on the winning side of this. I said, Shirley, but that's our job to make sure that we let them know that we are winning. We can give them hope. We are. I'm praying that I am equipping you with some of the things. Because the stuff that I give you has data to back it up. Everything about the new vaccine. And they've only tested it on 37 people. Yes, there were only white Caucasians they tested it on. I had a talk with a gentleman down there who was an African-American. I'll say that. But we had a conversation when I took Leanne to one of her appointments. And during that conversation, as we talked about this. And I said, they didn't even test you, brother. I said, we know that there's a difference because of the way we're made up. I said, God designed it that way. I said, but we're still in the Lord. We're still brothers. And we were having a great time, him and I. But yeah, can you imagine that? They did not test that on, the 65 to... 65 to 85, they only tested it on 6 women and 6 men in that category. And they said, hey, it worked great. It really? I just saw the data the other day that said, you know who's getting this new variant more than anybody else? Those that have been vaccinated. The data's there. And everybody tells me, follow the science, follow the data. Oh, hey, there it is. Do masks work? No. They all know that now. And they say, yeah, it don't work. But yet they're pushing mask mandates. And do you know who came out? Huh? Who's our famous doctor? Dr. Fauci. They came out. And you know what he said? He said, and I get this, he said with his own mouth. He said it. He said, masks for the mass population are not going to work. He said, we know that. He says, but on a personal level, everyone should just wear one for a personal protection. Well, wait a minute. If it doesn't work for the mass, why is it going to work for that one person?
Yeah.
Come on, I'm just telling you. Listen what they're saying. Take it in. Trust God is what I'm saying. Jesus. See, this is a time for us to be consistent and very persistent in our prayers. And our prayers are in intercession. And they are for this revival and this great awakening and this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Everybody, it hasn't quit. This outpouring is still good. It's not getting reported enough. The outpouring is still happening. We should be continuing enforcing this outpouring that's happening. See, we are committed to the cause. And we are determined to see that those assignments are followed through and a restored and revived America happens.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray with this. Father, we ask for a supernatural infusion of strength and determination for all of those warriors praying to see America revived and transformed. May we all be found faithful as we serve your purpose in our generation. We thank you for the incredible destiny and calling you have on our nation. We have repented for rejecting it and turning from you. Now we appeal to you just as our founding fathers did. Deliver us from the strongholds of evil that have bound us and had the chains on us. Break those chains. Give us a fresh start. Fan the fires of revival to burn with a greater intensity within our nation as they never have before. We pray for the children, for the youth, and for the young adults of America. We have allowed filth and lies to be poured into our nations now for over 6 decades. This has caused us severe spiritual decay and loss of truth that most of this young generation has not seen. There has been no true representation of it, representation of who you are. They have been fed lies and deception. They need your powerful intervention and rescue. Come and save them. Come and save them this day. And again this morning, we pray for our government. It is out of control, ruled by such evil that we now mutilate children. And then we sell them, which is promoted and celebrated by those at the highest levels of government. Lies abound. Justice is rampant. Injustice is rampant and will be followed by a justice that only you will bring. Unjustice laws are enacted. They are very unrighteous towards you. Our government is now weaponizing against its citizens. Bring these evils down. Continue to expose them. Continue to awaken the American people to these evils. And we pray for those on the front lines of this battle against the giant, unrighteous government. Give financial support to those spending millions to fight this battle. Give them great endurance and faith. Work miracle after miracle to turn the tables of the darkness ruling our land. And we pray these things in the most powerful name of Jesus. Amen.